Well, good morning, church. I am so honored to be here this morning to share the word that God's put in my heart for all of us. And I want to delve right into that now. So if you have your Bible, if not, you'll see it coming, verses coming up on the screen. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted, everybody say insisted, that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Immediately, Jesus reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and we'll pause right there. If somebody can get me a tissue, I'd appreciate that so much. This is a very familiar passage of scripture to most of us, and thank you. And I just want to, oh, what a serving church. Anybody else? Anybody got any money? Thank you all. I appreciate it. I want to illustrate this passage of scripture in a way that I think will help us all in a couple of thoughts that came to my heart. So I need my group that's going to help me out. Where are you? Come on up. Come on up. We're going to have them come on up. That's what you can give them a hand. They're going to come on up. Just come all the way over here. Keep on down. Keep on down. Keep on down. Keep walking down. All the way down to where the drums are. Yeah. Come on down. All right. Stay behind. You walk down. Everybody go all the way down. No, go all the way down. You stay. I'm going to put you right here. And all you guys come over, all the way over here and spread right around there. Okay. That's good. That's good. Okay. So now, I want you to notice that Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And so they obeyed the Lord and got into the boat. But the Bible tells us that while they were going into the middle of the lake, that a sudden storm came. So now, how many know when you're on the water and a storm comes, your boat really gets rocked? Especially this is not a huge boat. I got my 12, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Okay, good. All right. So now you guys are on the boat. You're in the middle of a storm, and the boat is rocking you. So let me see you rock. Come on, guys. You're in a storm. The boat is rocking. Some of you are getting seasick. You keep rocking, okay? I want to see you rock. We got to pray for these disciples. So they're rocking, most of them, a little bit. Here's the first thought I want to leave with you. Obedience doesn't exclude us from trouble. Notice that they were obeying the Lord. Jesus insisted that they get into the boat and go to the other side. So they're in the perfect place of God. They're in the center of God's will. They're doing what God told them to do. And yet, in spite of that, we find that they find themselves in the middle of a storm, which helps you and I on something, because we need to recognize and remind ourselves this morning that there is a false gospel outside of the Word of God, and especially here in America. And that false gospel teaches us that if we are serving the Lord, if we are in the center of God's will, then we should never encounter trouble. That we should always be living and walking in victory, that we should always be carefree, rejoicing and having a great time in Jesus. I have a brother who has been away from God for over 30 years because he believed the false gospel. And when trouble came into his life one day, he got angry at God for letting it happen, because he felt, if I serve God, that should have never happened. And so he blamed God, and to this day, over 30 years, he's still far from God. The false gospel can derail your faith if you're not careful. Jesus told his disciples himself, John 16:33, in this world you will have, see, most of you know it, you just don't want to say it. You're going to have trouble in this world. We can be living our life in obedience to God, yet still encounter trouble. The psalmist in Psalm 73, verse 13 and 14 said this: did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing, God? I've been serving the Lord for a number of years now. In New York in 1985, we purchased a building and we began renovating it. It was the first time I ever did a construction work. During that time, I picked up sheetrock the wrong way and I ruptured a disc in my back. Didn't know I did that. And we had work to do, and we kept working until we finished the renovation. By the time we finished the renovation, I had so much pain and down my leg, I was dragging my leg. And we finished on a Saturday night, the Saturday right before Easter, and we opened up Sunday morning on Easter. And during that whole time, I never thought that this was all due to the work I had done. I figured, hey, if you're working for the Lord, if you're doing what God wants you to do, then, okay, got a little trouble, but heal this back. And here I am in 2025, 40 years later, and I still have a back problem. Did I keep myself pure for nothing? Why is it that the unbeliever doesn't have anywhere near the problems that I have? That's what the psalmist is saying. There are times that we can feel like God isn't fair. When I first came to Belmont in 2003, that first year, my wife was the only one that knew, I began out of nowhere to suffer from extreme leg cramps. Every single night, both legs will cram up severely. So much so that I was being robbed of my sleep. I was walking around during the day, totally sore in my legs, praying, God, what is this? Where did this come from? I left my family and my friends in New York to come here to Chicago, this God-forsaken city. I don't think that now, but back then, that was my heart. God, I'm here because you brought me here. I'm obeying you. And yet for a year, that went on. Trouble. Paul said this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. You see, obedience doesn't exclude us from trouble. That's the first point. Now, here's the second point that I want to encourage you with. This, in case you're wondering, is Jesus. I purposely picked the one from the crowd that would not look like Jesus. Doesn't act like Jesus, doesn't talk like Jesus. But we believe that God still does miracles. And his wife said, amen. Here's a second point. Before trouble shows up, the Lord has already prayed for you. Remember, while Jesus sent them away, he went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus, I need you praying. Wait. Listen, just come over here. You're looking at your disciples. Jesus loves to pray on his knees. Hey, good man. And remember, we're in the storm still. It's way in the storm. Way in the storm. Okay. It's a slow crowd this morning, but we'll get there. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented, turn to me again, strengthen your brothers. So in another portion of Scripture, as we just read, Satan has asked to sift Peter as wheat. He's asked to really try to destroy Peter's faith. But notice, Jesus prayed. He didn't pray that Peter would not encounter that trial. He prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. And so Peter now doesn't understand what was going on, and that's a sermon for another day. But I read this portion of Scripture to just once again encourage us, to let us know that while we're in the storm, I need a storm. They don't know it. They can't see him, but Jesus is already praying for them. In fact, Mark's gospel says that up on the mountain, Jesus can see them. Jesus, you can see them, right? There you go. He's seeing them. And he's praying for them. My brothers and sisters, I'm not sure who here today is undergoing a storm, but the Bible tells me that Jesus ever lives to intercede on behalf of his people. Jesus is praying for you. Now, here's the third point. At the right time, the Lord will come to deliver you. The Bible tells us that Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, but it wasn't until 3:00 in the morning that he began walking toward them. Jesus, you can stand up now. So Jesus began to come to them. You can pause right there just for a moment. So now, why is that for us? Well, human nature says that when we pray, we expect God to move right away. But God has a timing for everything under the sun. There's an appointed time for the trial, and there's an appointed time for the trial to end. And Jesus will not move until the time has come for delivery to happen. So the disciples didn't know it, but God was already moving toward them. See, we don't know that Jesus has already prayed for us, nor do we know that he's already on the way to bring deliverance. All we know is we're in the middle of a storm. That's all we know. All we're wondering about, what in the world is going on, God? My marriage is all of a sudden out of nowhere going through all kinds of problems. What's going on in my job? I can't believe all the issues that I'm having to deal with my job. What is going on? It seems as all hell is breaking loose in my life, Lord. But Jesus has not only prayed, but he's also on the way, already moving. So Jesus announced his presence, and Peter responded. I need a Peter. I see trouble all over his face. Everybody knows this guy is full of trouble. Peter had a bad temper. You look like Peter to me. So Jesus is here. The disciples all think it's a ghost. A ghost. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter says,
if it's you, call me out and I'll walk on this water to you.
And Jesus said, even Jesus is slow this morning. That's okay. So let me have you go about halfway. So Peter begins to walk on the water. You can stand right there for right now. Now he's dramatic all of a sudden. Now, here's the next point. This is something that we have to learn more of. When you're in the middle of a storm, it isn't wrong to pray for God to end the storm. But what happens when the storm continues? The next thing we ought to do is ask the Lord, Lord, give me a word that will enable me to live above the storm. That's the word that we look for. In other words, Peter, notice, Peter said, if it's you, God, stop the storm. He didn't say that. If it's you, Lord, bid me to come to you on the water. When in trouble, we need to ask God for a word. A word. Lord, this thing is keep going on. So now what I need from you, God, I need you to give me a word that will sustain me in this storm, that will enable me to live and walk this Christian walk unimpacted by the storm that's raging around me. That's the kind of word that we need from the Lord today. It's important that we recognize what God speaks will never violate his word. When you ask God for a word, more often than not, God is going to use this book to speak to your heart. Again, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to pray for the storm to stop. But when the storm continues, the next thing we ought to get to is, okay, God, give me a word that will enable me to live above this storm, unimpacted by the storm in my spirit, Lord. The trouble may rage around me physically, but I want to be strong in my spirit. And to do that, I need a word from the Lord. Now, the storm is still going on. Peter, he got his eyes off of the Lord, and he began to sink. And of course, Jesus looked at him and said, where's your faith? And he lifts him up, and he gets into the boat with them. And all of a sudden, the storm stopped. The wind died down, no more waves. Your trouble will end. And the Bible says God got them to the other side. Listen, we are all on a mission. There is something that God has purposed and planned for all of our lives, corporately as a church and individually. And God sent them on a mission, get to the other side. They received opposition trying to keep them from going to where God wanted them to go. But when the time was right, the presence of the Lord shows up and God got them to their destination. Are you with me so far? Okay. Now we have one more illustration. I need Jesus back and Peter back. You can stay right there, Peter, and Jesus is here. Let's stay here. This last thought came to me as I was meditating on this portion of Scripture. I suddenly began to think about the other 11. And I asked, Lord, why didn't any of the other 11, when they saw Peter walking on the water, Why didn't any of the other 11 say, hey, I want to walk on water too? Why did they all stay in the boat? And here's what I felt the Lord whisper in my heart. This boat symbolizes something that we need to examine this morning for a few moments. This boat is a place of security and comfortability. You see, God has a mission for you that's outside of the boat. There is a powerful spiritual experience that God wants every single one of us to have. He is ready to give you a word that will tell you, come and experience what I have for you. But for most of us, if we're honest, we'd rather stay in the place of comfortability and security. So, what am I talking about? I'm talking about that in this Christian journey, it's all about God using us in ways that we never imagined. So this sixth point is seize the opportunities to step out of your boat. Seize the opportunity to step out of your boat, because God wants you to have a powerful spiritual experience. None of them could ever say that they walked on water, but Peter could. Now, God wants you to have a powerful spiritual experience. For him, it might be the Lord saying, come, I want to use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to prophesy. Now, what will stop him? Well, God, I've never done that before. And what if I mess up? No, God, that's not for me. I'm not, my personality is such that I'm shyer, I'm more reserved. God might speak to her and say, you know what? I want you to work with the children's ministry. I want you to teach our children the word of the Lord. But I'm not comfortable teaching kids. Truth be told, I don't like kids. But you see, when God has a mission, it's not about what you like or don't like. It's not about what you're comfortable doing or what you're not comfortable doing. It's not about what you're secure in. We tend to operate in ministry in what we are secure in. I know I can do that, so let me do that. I know I can usher, so let me usher. But what if God wants to use this brother to call up people and begin praying for them out loud? I want to just pray for you. God put you on my heart. Let me pray for you. Whoa. I never prayed for anybody like that. You could be in a prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, the pastor will say, hey, pray two or three. Not me. No, I don't do that. Why? Because the truth is, I'm embarrassed about praying out loud. I'm not comfortable praying out loud. That's for Peter's. See, the boat, you're saved. You're in the boat. You're saved. But the sad part about the church is that the majority of the church lives here and not here. Can you imagine what God would accomplish in this house if we were willing to say, God, give me a word. Tell me to come. Use me, God. I want to step out of my comfort zone. I want to step out of my security. And this Sunday that's coming up, and we're going to share that testimony. God, I want to bring six people into this house that don't know you, God. And I've never talked to anybody outside of this church about Jesus. But God, I'm ready to step out of my comfort zone, my security zone. God, I need a word from you that will give me the strength to do what you're calling me to do. You see, I'm talking about stepping out this morning. To be used in the gifts of the Spirit. To battle away fear. Battle away being intimidated. Boy, I remember the first time God began to speak to me and told me that he was going to use me in the ministry. And I gave God all the reasons why he had gotten it all wrong. You see, my mother had six children. And among the six, my given name is Carlos. But I grew up in my family. Nobody called me Carlos. Everybody called me Charlie. Because at that time when I was growing up, there was a popular song called Charlie Brown, He's a Clown. You see, I'm the family clown. Always have been and still am. I'm a former drug addict, a dope dealer. I had this checkered past that when God began to speak to me, and it was in a prayer meeting, by the way, be careful about coming to a prayer meeting, and that he was going to bring me into the ministry one day. I was like, can't be. And immediately, you know what I did? I went to usher. But there was no peace in my heart. I was serving, but I knew it wasn't where God wanted me. And I got involved in several other ministries. But finally, one day, I made an appointment to see one of the pastors. And I said, please, help me out. I got this crazy thought, and I know you're going to agree with me that it's crazy and stupid, but I have this thing that won't go away that says that God was going to bring me into the ministry. And I almost fell off my chair in his office when the pastor said, we know. God's been speaking to our hearts about you. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And we're going to help you and prepare you for what God's calling you to do. You see, I keep telling God, you got the wrong guy. But finally, one day, I summoned up the courage. Because see, for Peter to come out of the boat and walk on the water required two things. It required faith and courage. You can have faith and still not have courage to act on your faith. You need them both to have that powerful spiritual experience. And I thank God that one day I summoned up the faith and the courage to say yes to the Lord. And there are still days. This morning I got up and I said, God, I need to thank you, God, because some way, somehow, you're still using this most unworthy servant that you have. I don't know why you keep using me. Because I feel so unworthy. But I want to do what you're calling me to do so that your name and your name will be glorified. You see, courage is the ability to move forward in spite of fear. I'm not telling you you're not going to be afraid inside. But courage helps you to get past that. And some of you might be saying at this moment, okay, I get you, Pastor. I get all of that. But what are you going to say about Peter? Didn't Peter sink? Didn't he fail? That's what I'm afraid of. Here's a newsflash for you. Everybody in ministry fails at one point or another. There is no such thing as someone who has never failed God. Pastor Toledo is a precious man of God. I love him dearly. I know you do as well. But do you think he's perfect? Just ask Chrissy, she'll tell you. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor, when I was pastoring at Belmont, how many times I failed so miserably. But only to get back up and say, okay, God, we're going to keep going. You see, ministry isn't about success and failure. To be used in the gifts of the Spirit. What if I speak out and it's not God? Okay, we'll learn from that. But ministry isn't about success and failure. It's about faithfulness. Accomplishing what God has called you to do. Knowing that there are going to be times when you struggle. But did Jesus give up on Peter, saying, sir, you're right. You're going to sink. I still got another 11 I could work with. He didn't do that. He picked him up. And he said, you should have had better faith. But then he said, come on, let's get back in the boat. And he got him to the other side. Thank you, guys. You can go down. Thank you. failing from time to time doesn't negate the powerful spiritual moments that God wants you to have and that you will have. I can share with you my own personal experience that there are times I've experienced great trouble, as all of us have, and wondered where God was and why God allowed it. But I'm so encouraged to know that when trouble shows up, Jesus had already been praying for me. And that when I least expect it, and when I can't see him, he's already begun the journey of walking towards me. And when the right moment comes, he will give me a word that will enable me to live above my circumstance and my situation so that we can go forward. The year I was having the leg cramps, it was amazing, though, as much as all that was robbing me of sleep and made it difficult to even study, my God, he was so faithful at the right moment, at the right time, to give me the word he would want me to speak and lay it all out for me. And I would thank him for that and say, okay, God, but can you just do this, Lord? Can you take care of this? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my grace, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Just trust in me. Rely on me. And I'll get you through. And one day, a year later, I woke up and I realized I slept the night and there were no leg cramps. And that was the end of that trial. See, every trial has an ending. We just need to get a word from God to sustain us until that moment comes.